9FM W260 CV Racine and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Ahead of tomorrow's South Carolina GOP primary, reproductive health comes up on the campaign trail. Former President Trump refers to an Alabama ruling on embryos and the pausing of IVF treatments by several clinics.
I strongly support the availability of IVF for couples who are trying to have a precious little beautiful baby.
In an interview with CBS News, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley says,
"What I will say is, don't have a knee-jerk reaction over this. We want to make sure embryos are protected."
In Central California today, 8 men have been killed in a head-on crash near a farming area. California Highway Patrol says near the town of Madera, about 25 miles outside of Fresno, 7 men died when their van collided with a pickup truck that apparently crossed the center line. One person in the truck died. A New York jury says former National Rifle Association leader Wayne LaPierre has to repay a lot of money that he used for personal perks, including exotic getaways and trips on super yachts. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
Wayne LaPierre had, in fact, improperly benefited to the tune of, I believe, $5.4 million. They said he'd already repaid $1 million, but he owes the organization another about $4.4 million.
Jurors also found that the NRA omitted or misrepresented information in its tax filings and violated New York law by failing to adopt a whistleblower policy. Police make an arrest in the death of a nursing student on the University of Georgia campus in Athens. Details from CBS's Linda Kenyon.
University of Georgia Police Chief Jeff Clark made the announcement in the death of 22-year-old Lagan Hope Riley.
Jose Antonio Ibarra, 26 years of age.
Chief Clark says Ibarra lives in Athens, but is not a U.S. citizen, and that he did not know Riley, who appears to have died of blunt force trauma.
I think this was a crime of opportunity.
There has not been a homicide at the University of Georgia in almost 30 years. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
In response to the invasion of Ukraine and the death of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, the U.S. slaps Russia and others with sanctions, some 600 of them. CBS's Ed O'Keefe on who and what are being sanctioned.
The targets announced today include top Russian companies that are providing material for the ongoing Russian war effort. For example, a company that makes the kind of steel needed for Russia's helicopters, another railroad logistics company, a major payment processing system of the Central Bank of Russia.
Stocks closed mixed on Wall Street. The Dow up 62 points. NASDAQ fell 45. S&P 500 up 2 points. Now this.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two proposed amendments to the Wisconsin Constitution are moving forward. Both ideas came up during the COVID-19 pandemic. One would let churches and other houses of worship stay open during public health emergencies. It needs to be passed by lawmakers one more time. The other would give the legislature more say on how to spend federal money. That amendment now goes to a statewide referendum in November. Governor Evers says he'll veto a Republican bill to fight PFAS pollution in Wisconsin, but Representative Jeffrey Mersau says the bill has important legal protections for innocent landowners.
That's the whole crux of this whole bill is trying to get stuff cleaned up without taking and making somebody liable that had nothing to do with it.
Evers says the bill weakens the state's enforcement authority. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Baseball gets started tomorrow. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers' first exhibition game of spring training out in Arizona tomorrow against the Padres. The first pitch at 2:10 Central Time. There's been talk that Sal Frelick will play on third base this spring. When will that happen? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
First day. He's special, man. The kid's special. He can do it. That people ask me, why is he doing it? Because he can. If anybody can do it, it's Sal.
NBA, the Bucks and the Timberwolves tonight in Minnesota. Milwaukee will be without Chris Middleton still dealing with an ankle injury. NFL, Packers' Matt LaFleur introducing Jeff Hafley as the team's new defensive coordinator.
Certainly have always had respect for him from afar as a football coach. He's worked with my brother at two different stops. He's worked with Kyle Shanahan at two different stops in Cleveland and San Francisco, and I know how those guys, how much respect they have for him as a person first and a coach second.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Flurries ending, mostly clear tonight, low in the mid-teens. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, high in the upper 30s. Low 50s for a high and mostly sunny Sunday. On Monday, even warmer, breezy with a high in the mid-50s. Lots of sun. It's 28 degrees right now.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who thinks chickens dream of one day being pot pies, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. So great to have you with me on this Friday night in the beautiful state of Wisconsin, talking about all things entertainment, movies, TV, fun events throughout the state. Our question tonight, in honor of Pinocchio being released decades ago, is it ever okay to lie? Is it ever okay to lie? You can chime in. And if so, when? Give us an example. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. That's a good time to lie when you're going to a party. You tell your parents you're going to study. I don't know. In just a little bit, Terry Barr will be here to talk about what's coming up tomorrow night on Mad Unity. Sorry, Max Inc. I got my Mads wrong on Max Inc. Terry's always fun. And they put on such a great show with live music. And right now, we are going to turn to live theater. I am very excited to welcome my next guest, who is directing The Hello Girls at the Four Seasons Theater at the Overture Center. She is the director, Wendy Jones Hill. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm looking forward to talking about our lovely production that opened last night at the Overture.
Yeah, well, you know, you're the busy one, so I appreciate you taking time out and making some time for us. I know what that's like when you got a show opening and you're running all over the place, so your time is appreciated. How did opening night go last night?
It went really well. We are sold out this whole first weekend. We had an excellent audience.
Oh, wow.
The cast was stellar, you know, with their storytelling. The audience was with us from beginning to end. And it was I've heard many good comments about how powerful the show was. So I'm very, very proud of our cast and proud of the show.
That's really, that's great to hear. And I'm sure as a director, you're thrilled about that. Tell us a little bit for those people listening that might not know the story of the Hello Girls, which is really remarkable. Can you give us a little background?
Yeah. General Pershing put out a call for telephone operators who were bilingual, who could speak French and English, because he wanted them to serve in France during World War I. And the men weren't up to speed on the switchboards, but they knew that the female operators in the United States were. And so they put out a call, 7,000 women applied, 223 were sent over, and they ended up during their time of service connecting 26 million phone calls.
Wow.
Between the, you know, the general and all of his officers. They served at the front and they helped to win the war.
That is unbelievable. And what I find really interesting about their story, Wendy, is that, and I remember watching a documentary on them years ago, mm-hmm. they were not recognized as veterans, right? Or even members of the Army for a long
time.
They weren't.
You know, they put their lives on the line. You know, in the United States at that time, women couldn't even vote. You know, they couldn't open a bank account. They couldn't sign a lease without their father to, you know, to co-sign for them. So that's where they came from. And all they wanted to do was go over and do their part and serve. And they actually had to fight to be able to serve at the front. And they ended up proving themselves. And Grace Banker, who was the lead operator, ended up even getting this Distinguished Service Medal, the only woman who had ever had that happen before. There had never been female soldiers. But when they got back to the United States, they weren't recognized. They were called contractors. And so a battle ensued for 60 years for them to be recognized. And out of 223 that served, only 33 lived to see the day, you know, that they were recognized as veterans.
That is incredible. And when you throw in the idea that they weren't even allowed to vote and they're serving their country like that, sometimes you just look back at history and you're like, how did that happen? And you go, well,
how did that even happen?
Yeah. And you say, well, it was a different time. But even then, I mean, were we so primal that we didn't realize, oh, okay, maybe we should recognize their contributions, you know?
Exactly. So I think that's why it is such an honor to tell their story, because who has heard this story, you know? Before I read this play and listened to this music, I was not aware of this story. But as our cast tells the story so honestly, all of the music also forwards the plot as well. It's just an amazing contribution that they made. Within actually technically a short period of time, they went over in March of 1918, and the armistice was in November. And think of 26 million phone calls, you know, it's amazing what they did and what they accomplished.
How did you, as a director, find the material? How did you get involved with this? And how did you, when did you realize, okay, I want to spend a significant portion of my life working on this? Because it's a big undertaking.
Well, you know, a year and a half, Sarah Marty, producing director here at Four Seasons, approached me and asked me if I would take a look at this script and if I would consider directing it. And the idea of women in history is very, resonates with me a lot. And when I read this story, I was just amazed. I said, I just have to be part of telling the story. Who's heard it? You know,
right.
It's such an important story to tell. And so it's just been an honor. It's, of course, a huge task to direct a show. It's a regional premiere. There's nothing to look at. There's nowhere to get any ideas for it. So really, it was just hours and hours and hours of just spending time reading the script over and over again, doing, you know, research, listening to the music, and just developing, you know, the staging for this in the best possible way to tell the story. And the story is definitely coming across. I feel that, you know, when I'm sitting in the audience, I can feel that story is coming through, and it is a very powerful story.
Okay, so you're a performer too as well, correct?
Yes.
What do you prefer now that you've directed? And I'm sure the rush of performing is one thing, but there's also a rush directing.
I've been directing for quite a while, you know, interspersed with my time on the stage. They're just two different things. I love being the actress on the stage. I love to feel that connection with my audience. But directing is a different thing, because it's like driving a team of horses. I mean, you aren't, you know, you're, how is the lighting going to be? You know, who, doing the casting? How does everybody move? How are the scene changes done? You know, how is the sound? You know, so you're really looking at the overall picture. But the payoff with that is to sense that the story is being told and to feel that. Now, I'll tell you what, when the show is really playing and the story is really coming through and I can feel that energy with the audience, I get a lump in my throat, you know? And so I have that same emotion. So they both bring joy to me in a different way, I guess I have to say.
That's a great answer. My guest is Wendy Jones Hill. She is the director of The Hello Girls, which is playing tonight, this weekend through March 3rd at the Playhouse at Overture. And where can people get tickets for next weekend?
On the Overture Center website. We're sold out for this weekend, and also next Sunday sold out. But best availability would be Thursday, February 29th, Friday, March 1st and Saturday, March 2nd. So hurry and get your tickets.
Do you have a favorite venue in Madison of to do theater in?
Do you know that when my very first show in Madison many years ago was in this very playhouse?
Oh, no.
And this is my absolute favorite because of it. It's a very intimate theater.
Yeah.
It's a thrust stage, which means you've got audience on three sides of you, and it's very intimate. And just as an actress, you know, just being able to play in this space, it's my absolute favorite. So to direct in this space, I feel like I'm home. You know,
that's a great answer. Are all your actors local? Do you bring people in for a performance like
They're
this?
They're all Madison area. So we aren't bringing in people from Chicago and New York. That's really part of the focus of Four Seasons is to have actors and designers and musicians and tech people all from the Madison area.
All local.
And so I think that's really unique, that there's a wealth of talent, you know, and in Madison. And so we are grateful just to have the best here.
All right.
An incredible team.
I have one more question for you, Wendy, and I'm going to put you on the spot. Our question tonight here on Nightlight, is it ever okay to lie because Pinocchio was released on this day decades ago?
I guess I have to say no.
Oh, what about to your actors? Like, oh no, yeah, that theater critic showed up. You guys got to do your best performance. Like, is it okay to lie to motivate people?
No.
Wow, look
no,
at you.
No, because honesty, truth, no, it will always come back to get you.
That's true.
I think honesty is the best.
As hard as it would be sometimes to tell someone they don't have the part or they don't fit that role.
It is hard, you know,
you
and of course, you know, as an actress, I think every actor's had that happen, been on the receiving end of that. But I think the, you know, kindness and respect as you're delivering, even news like that, I think there's a way to do it. And so I think honesty is the best.
Well, I already trust you and I appreciate your honesty and your time for being here. The show is The Hello Girls. It is playing tonight, although it's sold out this weekend at Playhouse at Overture. It will go through next weekend. Get tickets for Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Wendy Jones Hill is the director, spending a little time with us tonight on Nightlight. Thanks so much, Wendy, and break a leg.
Oh, thanks so much, Pete. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a great night. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Conrad, so what have you ever, do you go to much live theater?
I can't say I do that.
Okay. I think you and I need to road trip down to Madison and check out the Hello Girls.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you ever been to a musical?
I have, but it was for like school, where it was like a field trip.
Okay. Here's what I want to do. In honor of the Hello Girls and Wendy Jones Hill, I want to play. Yesterday was Leah Salonga's birthday. She was in the show Les Mis, and she sings On My Own, which is a very famous song now from one of the most famous musicals ever made. Let's play that and go to break with that in honor of musical theater happening tonight in Madison and the Hello Girls. We'll be right back.
Listening to WRJN Racine, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original Badger's nickname is actually associated with...
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Welcome back. We are barreling towards the weekend at light speed. We're coming in hot. Conrad, I don't think you weighed in when we were talking about all the counties.
Yeah.
What county is Kewaskum in?
Washington County.
Washington County. Do you know who your most famous?
Is it the poet?
No, it's not.
Oh, wow. I don't know, actually. What is it?
Alia Janine, a comedian.
Oh, okay.
How do you like that?
It's better than the poet, I think, because he's from the 14th century.
It's like George Washington or like, you know what's crazy? I feel bad for places like Milwaukee, the most famous resident ever, according to this poll in the Journal Sentinel. It was Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
And if you're from Manitowoc, it's Stephen Avery. Like, how do you get, you know what you have to do to supplant those two? Like, if you're in Milwaukee, to get rid of Dahmer is your most famous resident. Oh, whatever, it's one poll. It doesn't mean.
So is this like they were born there?
Well, I don't know. They lived there enough of their lives to be considered a resident. Because I had this thing when Terry Bell and I were talking about this in the first hour. Jim Abrams, it says he's from Vilas County. I don't think that's true. I think he grew up in Shorewood. But his family had a summer place up there.
Well, I think Giannis might take over Dahmer's spot for most famous when his career's done. Because I don't think he's ever going to leave Milwaukee.
Well, I think that would be great. Here's the problem. I don't even see Giannis on this list.
Well, I mean, he hasn't been I think he's been here, I'm thinking, 8 years now, somewhere around there. Maybe they need to live there longer.
Yeah, but he should be on the list, at least. Even if he's not the most famous, like, yeah. You have to do something. I mean, he'd have to be like Michael Jordan or something if he's going to be the guy to do it. Or someone's going to have to save the world. Because Dahmer is like, by leaps and bounds, 1.3 million. And the guy who killed him in prison is 272. This is page views. They're going by page views. So, I mean, that should tell you something. But Giannis should get a lot of pay. He's a social media guy, right?
Yeah, he definitely should be up there, I feel like.
Tony Shalhoub, the pride of Green Bay, is on here. That's kind of cool. Heather Graham. And then there's another actress that was on here called Shannon Weary, who was in Me, Myself, and Irene. She kind of did some of those Skinamax movies, which is surprising. I mean, she's very beautiful, but she's a great actor, too.
I just watched that movie last night, actually, for the first time.
Me, Myself, and Irene?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It was so funny.
There are moments where, I know. That moment where he's standing at the toilet in the morning. I didn't know what to expect. I saw that in the theater with my brothers and I couldn't even catch my breath. I was laughing so hard.
When he wraps himself in the curtain.
right. And then the scene with Shannon Weary, he's like, Jim Carrey's like breastfeeding. It was so bizarre.
Oh my God. That was when he first discovered, what's his name again?
It's been a while since I've seen the film.
I just saw it last night Hank.
Okay.
Yeah, when he's his other self.
Oh, that's right. Right. That's right. Okay, now it's coming back to me. Kurtwood Smith, too. I think we talked a little bit about Kurtwood Smith from Juneau County, from That 70s Show. I'm just reading the showbiz ones. There's showbiz, there's espionage and crime. political. Yeah, there's some cool people from Wisconsin. It's like a blank canvas. Well, not a blank canvas. It's like a canvas of many different professions that led these people to fame. So we got that going for us, which is nice. This is a show that dropped in 2018. I want to tell you guys about. It's called 7 Seconds, and it's a crime show. And I saw it on Netflix. I think it's still on Netflix. And it was just kind of a diamond in the rough find for me. It's got a great cast. Claire Hope Ashady plays an attorney with a drinking problem. Who's this other actor? Michael Mosley, who's a very underrated actor, plays a cop. And it's about these dirty cops that hit a kid with a car and kill the kid, and they try to cover it up. And it's about how the case unfolds. And I just kind of was bored one day, and I clicked on it, and I just ended up really liking it. It's called 7 Seconds, and it's on Netflix. I highly recommend it. It's one of those series you can probably get through in a weekend. And I recommend it. If you like crime stuff, check out 7 Seconds. Gretchen Mol's in it. Regina King. It's got a really good cast, not a crazy A-list cast, which I like. For me, I end up losing myself in the show more when there aren't huge stars in it. It's just easier to buy into that you're looking into this world. So definitely check out 7 Seconds. I kind of had forgotten about it until I saw that this was the anniversary. And have you seen Pinocchio, Conrad?
Yeah. You know what's... Have you seen the new live-action one?
I have not. Have you?
It's terrible.
Oh, really?
I just don't get why they need to remake these things.
And why live-action?
Yeah, I don't... The original one's so much better than the live-action.
You want that character to be animated.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 100%.
That doesn't make any sense. Stacy Sue, watching via the stream, says Houdini and Appleton. That's a great one. Was Houdini on that list? Yeah, again, though, this has to be era dependent. Like Houdini, no, he's not on the list. So do we have time to play that clip from Bottle Rocket?
Yeah.
All right. This is the other day it was the anniversary of the release of Bottle Rocket in 1990. I think it was 1996. This is Wes Anderson's first film starring Owen and Luke Wilson. And this is they want to be a gang and they want to rob places. And they decide to get practice robbing a library, which has about $9 on cash. So this is their first attempt at a robbery.
Okay, sit down. Get up against the wall, Stretch. What's in here? Where's the money? Talk, Stretch.
It's in the drawer.
Okay, there it is. Come on, open up that drawer.
No, it's not.
Come on, the other one. Let's go.
Where's the money?
Okay. Put one of those bags. Get one of those bags. Let's move. Come on. A bigger one, you idiot. What do you
Don't
think?
Don't call me an idiot, you punk.
Okay, do you have bigger bags for atlases or dictionaries, sir?
That's my favorite Wes Anderson film. I like that, and then I like Rushmore. Have you seen Rushmore?
I have not, no.
No? Highly recommend it. Great film about a kid that goes through a privileged academy. He is not privileged, and he is a master at every extracurricular club, but he's flunking out of school. It's a great movie. All right. Coming up next, the fabulous Civic Media host of Max Inc., Terry Barr. She's going to talk about what she has on her show tomorrow night. Maybe we'll even try to trick her with a question about who's from her county. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And you know I can't remember a damn thing. I think it's one of those deja vu things. All I'm trying is trying to tell me something. But will I ever stop thinking about it? I don't know. I doubt it. Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work.
You're listening to WRJN Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief. A day before the South Carolina GOP presidential primary, former President Trump weighs in on Alabama's Supreme Court ruling that embryos can be considered children, which has caused some clinics to pause IVF procedures.
Calling on the Alabama legislature to act quickly to find an immediate solution to preserve the availability of IVF in Alabama, and I'm sure they're going to do that.
A jury finds that former NRA chief Wayne LaPierre misspent the gun rights group's money and owes more than $4 million. CBS News legal consultant Jessica Levinson.
This is what you siphoned off. This is how you improperly benefited, and that's what needs to go back to the organization.
A 26-year-old man is arrested in the death of a nursing student on the University of Georgia